I think it's going to be lifted very slowly. I don't think we will forget this part of our life. And I think it will be in the history books as well. I think we need to learn. I think we just need to take the lessons that we can learn from this. For example, you said, I told you at the beginning that I was fine. Yeah, of the lockdown is not fun. That is true. But at the same time, we are so lucky. We are so lucky that our family and friends are fine. We are so lucky that we are not the most affected people right now. So it kind of is true that we cannot go out, but at the same time, you realize how lucky you are to just stay at home.
Welcome to another episode of Gone Workabout. Today, I am here with a friend, Sonia Glez, in Spain. Welcome.
Hello, Oliver. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. How are you?
I'm very well. And you?
Good. Really well.
Considering that we aren't allowed to go outside, although I think lockdown has been more severe for you guys than it has been in the UK, right?
Yeah, well, the way I see it is, I think the UK and Spain are similar. However, Spain is perhaps between 7 and 10 days ahead.
Okay.
So, okay. For example, when I was in Spain and I saw things happening, and then I saw the way the UK was reacting before the lockdown in any of both places, I kind of knew that the UK was going to end up in a similar state or situation than Spain when it comes to the number of infected people, the number of deaths. But yeah, I guess it's worse, same as Italy. Italy is meant to be a bit worse as well. Mm. But I don't know. I think we are all not doing great.
No,
we are not Germany.
No, or Sweden. So let's rewind the clock a little bit and give people a little bit of a context, because I think your opinion as a medical one is quite interesting. And because you've lived in England and you also come from Spain and you're in Spain now, right? What city are you in again?
Madrid.
I thought so. Okay, Valmadrid. Okay, so tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be in Spain when COVID began.
Okay, so, well, about me first, I'm Sonia, I'm a dentist, I studied in Spain, in Madrid, and during the COVID-19, actually, I was traveling, okay? I quit my previous job, and I was escaping winter, so I have been in Africa and South America for a few months. Then I decided to come back right at the beginning of the lockdown in Italy, okay? Because I saw things getting serious. Okay. And many people who I met traveling in, especially in South America, they got stuck in the hostels where they were staying.
But wow.
They say it was really, really uncomfortable because in those hostels, most people, young people, they were very nervous. They were trying to go back to their countries, USA, different places, and they were really struggling to go back. So basically, I just decided to go back. Then I went skiing before we actually knew that Spain was also going to go into a lockdown.
It's crazy to hear you talk about these things. And then I was traveling, then I was skiing. It's like, I can't even imagine thinking about doing those things now, you know, 4 weeks into lockdown. But back
exactly.
Then, we had normal lives, didn't we?
Absolutely. It's like a parallel reality.
Yeah. So you went skiing. And what sort of date are we now?
Sorry, what sort of date?
What sort of date? Is this March the 15th?
Yeah, actually, this is exactly the day I went back from skiing was the day before the lockdown in Spain. So I think this was the 14th of March.
Okay. Okay.
And I think, yeah, I went back from skiing the 13th of March.
Right.
You know, as soon as I knew about the lockdown, we just cancelled the holidays and decided to just go back home.
Fair enough. And what was it like in Spain as the lockdown began? What was the communication like? What was lockdown like? That's what I'm really quite interested to explore country to country.
Yes. So the lockdown, I think it has been similar to Italy. Nobody is allowed to be outside at all.
At all.
And not even to exercise.
And how long has that been going? For more than a month now, right?
Yeah, from the 14th of, so yeah, exactly 6 weeks. From the 14th of March.
And not allowed outside at all. How do you do that? How do you order food?
Okay, so yeah, you can go to buy food, and ideally once a week. And then you can also go out to walk your dog, okay? That's why there are so many jokes about families dressing their children up like dogs. And to use that as an excuse to going out. And then just key workers, they have a permission to go out, like a document. So apart from that, nobody can go out, nobody. But now we are talking, 2 days ago, this law has changed a little bit. The lockdown is starting to become a bit more flexible, and children are allowed to go out, not together, just one by one, and only with one adult.
Wow.
And they are allowed to go for a walk, I believe, no more than half of a kilometer away from their house, and no more for no more than 1 hour.
So on one hand, this sounds really scary, right? Because in England, as you probably know, we are allowed to go outside once a day to exercise. So I go for a nice long walk down the waterfront that you know really well because you live in Brighton, right? And then we go out to get some food. So honestly, although we're not going to cafes and bars and restaurants and things like that, and we're not seeing our friends, it doesn't feel so crazy. And it feels like we should be at least doing that kind of security to protect people from particularly the health service being overloaded. But what you've described is another level, right? But let's talk about why they're doing it, because Spain had the highest death toll in the world at one particular moment. I think it was 950 people, right? And I think is still right up there, maybe the second or third in the world now that the USA is so high. So talk a little bit about, I know that you've released some Facebook posts where you talk about the perspective of a dentist and why people should be washing their hands and disinfecting. Talk a little bit about that and why that's so important, and give me your opinion on whether you think Spain has done it right or wrong.
Okay, so when it comes to the number of dead people, I would also like to add some information. I didn't really do my homework well, okay, but I think Spain is one of the countries, if not the country, with the highest life expectancy. That means that there are a lot more amount of people who are older.
Right.
So because of that, there are a lot more amount of people of, in terms of the amount of population who are over 60, 70, 80, and those ones are the ones affected by COVID-19. So maybe that's why it's also affecting to more amount of people. And about the way Spain is doing it, I would say, I believe wearing a mask is a very good idea. And I think Spain is kind of doing the same as like citizens in Italy, in the UK are doing. I don't think they are really doing anything different. It's true. I think maybe because the lockdown is more strict, perhaps people are taking it a bit more seriously, and you see more people. People, I think they are a bit more scared. You also see more people wearing gloves and masks when they go out compared to the UK. Right. Even when they go to the supermarket, many of them wear gloves and masks if they have them. So that would be the only difference I see. Okay. Is that answering your question?
Yeah, sure. Sure, it is. It is. And things have really changed in the last week or so, I've seen, because perhaps people have reached their limit after a month of being inside and they're starting to crack, perhaps. But we've seen young people hanging out in groups on the beach, and we've seen people walking too close to each other, and just people starting to really relax how seriously they are taking it. So I really hope that there isn't a second wave that comes from people being too relaxed, you know. But let's talk about dentistry, and you have been volunteering, is that right?
Yes, well, actually I volunteered, and I really thought they were going to call me the day after, but they didn't call me.
Wow.
Yeah, so basically I received an email that was saying the number of tasks needed and the type of professions that could do every task. For example, dental nurses, they are allowed to do certain things. Dentists, they were allowed to do more amount of things. And I thought, listen, I live alone, you know, it doesn't really, I'm not going to give the virus to anyone. So let's just do it, you know, it's kind of obvious. Okay, they didn't contact me. So I was actually quite surprised with that. But yeah, I guess it's good, right? Maybe
it could be they had lots of volunteers, perhaps, and perhaps
exactly,
part of the problem
that
is organizing.
That things are not as horrible as we hear they are. Why am I saying this? Because it's true that the coronavirus, we need to take it very seriously so it doesn't get too bad. But I also know that it's very bad in a low number of hospitals. Does it make sense?
In a small number of hospitals.
Exactly. In a small number of hospitals. It's not really happening everywhere. So perhaps where I am, and they just don't need it. They are fine. They are coping it. They are coping right now. So I hope that is the case, okay? I don't know what is happening right now inside hospitals, so I don't want to go there.
No. No, and what I've heard is that it makes a big difference to be in an area that's full of sick people, because the load of virus that's in the air and ingested by a particular person is very high, and therefore can compromise the immune system much more than, say, walking down the street past someone, right?
Oh, wow, that's new.
Yeah, yeah.
So you said just like by being in an area with a lot of... Yes. You mean like hospitals?
Yeah, like a ward or a hallway or a waiting room where there's a lot of people and they're all sick and they're all coughing. There's a lot of virus in the air. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why. Yes, exactly. If they don't. Yes. That's completely true. Yeah.
So tell me what, just thinking about your video and the things that you explain and suggest to people, what do you suggest that people do now when they go out to the shops? How do you suggest they go through that process? What do you suggest they wear in terms of protection and hand washing, etc.?
Okay, so to try stopping the virus as much as we can, we need to consider that not because we don't have symptoms, we don't have the virus. Because as we all know, we can be asymptomatic and still spread the virus. So I would suggest wearing a mask, a face mask, is absolutely not a bad idea. I think it's a very, very intelligent idea. Why? Because that's the way we avoid transmitting the viruses to other people. Okay? That is way more important than the way we look, if it looks cool or if it doesn't look cool. And also, to protect ourselves, that's why I recorded this video. The video recording is just to protect ourselves from getting the virus from others. It's basically just make sure that you will not, that once you walk back into your house, you will be able to disinfect absolutely everything that has been in contact with the street. For example, if you use your hands and then you touch the phone, make sure you disinfect the phone. Make sure you disinfect the credit card, or you don't touch the credit card. You leave it inside your coat and by the entrance. But that's the way we as dentists, those are the things, the precautions we take to avoid the transmission of viruses and bacteria for infection control. And personally, it works very well. We leave always the clothes we use. We used to work as a dentist at the practice. We get changed. We wash our hands very, very well. And we go out with our clothes. And to be honest, I don't have any problem. And many of my patients come very ill. And I don't get sick.
So what is that hand washing? Tell me about that. How do you wash your hands and for how long?
20 seconds. Just, for example, there are many videos in YouTube that show very well how to wash your hands, but it's basically making sure that your hands, your wrists, be inside your nails, between your fingers, everything has been in contact with a nice amount of soap for 15, 20 seconds. Really, really, really well. And that's it.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. I'm sure that's going to help a lot of people. And something that something else you've been involved in is your Girls All Over the World COVID-19 video, which I'll put in the show notes, which is really, it's really nice to see people in all different countries all goofing around and all connected, right? How many countries were in the video?
So the video, I will say it in order because that's what I can remember. It starts in Cuba, then it goes to Europe, and it goes to Portugal, Spain, France, the UK, Lithuania, Germany, Romania, Hungary, Zimbabwe, Vietnam, Australia,
Philippines,
Philippines, Fiji Islands. And the last one is Polynesia, Tahiti, an island.
It's cool, isn't it? And they are all in lockdown, no?
Yeah, sort of, actually. It's really, really interesting because even I was talking to my friend from Fiji Islands and we were catching up. I was asking her what things are like there. And also in Tahiti. And they all have maybe similar types or different types of lockdowns. But they are in lockdown. For example, I know in Australia, the lockdown is not really, really established. I think only one city went into lockdown.
Really?
I don't know if it was Sydney or Melbourne. This is what I knew about some days or weeks ago. It might have changed. But yeah, I think most of us, in a way, we are in a lockdown. And also, I know in South America, many countries went in lockdown because many of my friends were trapped in Colombia, Peru. These countries were in lockdown. Brazil, Argentina, people were trying to travel and they were not allowed to enter a certain city. They were not allowed to travel, to fly. Yeah, it was really...
Wow. So you know people who are stuck in hostels in Cusco or wherever it might be?
Yeah.
And have been for a month?
Yeah. And they could not get back. They were trying every day trying to get a flight, and maybe they would book a flight and then the flight would get cancelled.
Wow.
Like very unreliable. Right now be traveling like it's crazy being traveling right now.
Absolutely. You would just never, I've been to South America, and when I planned that trip, it never occurred to me in a million years that I might be stuck in a hostel for a month while there was a global pandemic. I would have thought that you were talking about a zombie movie, right?
Exactly, right? The apocalypse is zombie.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like that.
So tell me something funny that you've seen or heard while you've been in lockdown. I'm going to ask that to each person in each country to bring some humor in.
Something funny that I have seen during the lockdown?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really know what to tell you, actually.
Could be funny weird, right?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, this is kind of like personal. But as you saw me making that video, I have seen my parents dancing and sending, like, I think now everyone is dancing and posting the videos on TikTok. I saw my brother, who is 32 years old, on TikTok. Dancing, something that I would have bet money that is not true. I think everyone is just like going a bit crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, I'm redecorating the whole house and I'm even working out, something that is not normal. So,
I think half of the world is doing yoga with Adrienne, right?
Yeah. And I think the best is like, people calling each other and calling people that they haven't talked to for about 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, to check out how they are, you know, and have a chat because now we have so much time. But it's nice.
And also, I think that we are thinking about the things that are important because they might be taken away, right? Even though the chances of us getting ill and passing away are very low, it's still something that people are thinking about, isn't it?
Exactly. That's kind of as well the point of my video, that we are realizing about what really matters, that are people in our life, and not so much the job, the money, the sofa, the car we have now. So exactly, people are getting more connected, people are becoming more human, and that's very, very, very good, very beautiful to see.
I agree. And so tell me, what do you think, how do you think this is going to change the way that we live and the world that we live in? If you imagine the emergence from lockdown, which could be in maybe a month or a bit longer, right?
Yes. So the effects?
Yeah.
Oof, I wish I could guess, right? But yeah, I think this is the kind of lockdown or being careful with social distancing. I think it will be in place for about 1 or 2 years until perhaps we all get the virus, but it's in order, you know, so we don't collapse the hospitals. And I think it's going to affect a lot, many types of professions. You know, when it comes to how stable they feel, how secure they feel. Yeah.
It's just the kind of change that we could never have predicted, right? In a world where, you know, the things that really are important to me are things like the planet and how we care for the planet. And I know that Greta Thunberg came along and that she really shone the light on the world leaders not taking climate change seriously enough. But I find it really interesting that we lock down the cities and you see these news reports of deer walking through London and coyotes walking through cities in the US and nature starting to reclaim some of the space that was previously full of our cars and our trucks and our noise.
Yeah. I can tell you, like, I don't know if you know, at 8 p.m. on Thursdays, people clap for the NHS in England.
They do. And it's an amazing sound. Yeah, so
that happens every single day. And where my parents live, and there are like many shows and events going on as well. It's like a performance. Every day where my parents live, one of the neighbors, they always play 3 songs. One of them is the Spanish, how do you call it? The Ethan?
The national anthem? Yeah, sure. The national anthem. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I just
can't say it anymore. And so they play it to lift the spirits of the area.
Yeah, and then they play like something like 3 random Spanish songs. And the other day it was our neighbor's birthday and everyone was singing happy birthday to him. So I think those things are like really emotional and really, really beautiful because many of these neighbors, they didn't really talk to each other. And now finally, after 20 years living in the same area or in the same building, they are going to start talking to each other. So yeah, I think it's bringing positive things. But when it comes to what is going to happen exactly in the future, I wish I could tell, but to me, it's completely uncertain.
And the real key that I think you touched on before was that, and actually it's beautiful to hear that it's bringing communities together. I think that is one of the nicest things.
Yeah, I think many people are going to take from this that we can't really take life for granted and that nothing is certain. For example, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you will never have everything under control. And it doesn't matter where you live or anything or what is your job, who are your friends. Like, there are certain things that are always out of your control. And I think that's good to try to every day appreciate what matters the most. Not just focusing on other things and expecting the most basic things to always be there. Yeah, so I think that is good. That is good. Because I'm talking just because I know some people who, for example, have a very comfortable life, okay, and perhaps rich people, that they are now appreciating loved ones, spending time with loved ones more than they would usually do.
And that is a big shift, isn't it? A shift back to being more human and focusing on the things that matter. See, that's the kind of change that I'm hoping that we see more of, that us being sucked into this technological world and consumer world, that this brings us back a little bit to what really makes us tick and the things that we really actually need in terms of community, shelter, and, you know, enough food, but not necessarily the most amazing job. I think you're right. Perhaps we'll all just take it down a step. And I think what's going to be really interesting is that, like you mentioned before, lockdown isn't going to be switched off. It's not going to be whirled back to normal just like that, is it? We're going to have social distancing internationally, perhaps even control over the amount of travel that we see, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, for example, if the lockdown would be completely lifted, a second wave would come. A second wave would come, like 95% chances.
And we just can't handle that.
Exactly. We already learned from the mistake, and it's not something any health professional wants to go through, and anyone really, right? You don't really want to see your neighbors dying when there is no real need for that. So yeah, I think it's going to be lifted very slowly. I don't think we will forget this part of our life. And I think it will be in the history books as well. And yeah, I think we need to learn. I think we just need to take the lessons that we can learn from this. For example, you said, I told you at the beginning that I was fine. And the lockdown is not fun. That is true. But at the same time, we are so lucky. We are so lucky that our family and friends are fine. We are so lucky that, I don't know, that isn't, we are not the most affected people right now. So it kind of is true that we cannot go out, but at the same time, you realize how lucky you are to just stay at home.
Yeah. And I have a friend who has seen a friend pass away, a friend who had a health condition pre-existing. And you don't want that for anybody. For either the person involved or for the people around them. So I totally hear you in terms of that. Tell me, have you thought about how your life will change and how you will change the way that you live, if at all, after lockdown and as things start to come back to normal slowly?
Yeah, I think I'm taking stability a bit more seriously. Before, because I'm young, I was focusing more on traveling until I settled down, because then I kind of thought, oh, when I settle down and I might have a family, I will not be able to travel as much. So I was doing it more before. However, I must say now that I think it's good having some sort of personal stability that doesn't depend on the government. Does it make sense?
It does. And yeah. I mean, I've been traveling around to have fun for quite a long time. And it's funny how stability starts to become valuable. I get you.
Exactly. So knowing that it doesn't matter what the government goes through, doesn't matter how the laws change, at least you are stable individually and independently. So if something happens, nothing happens to you. And if nothing happens to you, at least you are in a better place or position to help others. Whether it's buying your own house, you know, and having some savings there. Different situations. So yeah, I think it's good to be conscious. And also appreciating, as we said, what really matters. That will definitely change. Yeah. And not taking things for granted. Simple things like toilet paper.
Yeah, like toilet paper. It's interesting that was the thing that everybody went and panic bought.
Absolutely.
Because perhaps they've never been to France. But when you have a bidet, you don't need toilet paper. So
exactly.
A little bit confused.
Everywhere.
It's like £15 to get a hose that you can attach to your bathroom, to your toilet, so that you can make your toilet into a bidet. But I guess the thing is, when people panic and they get worried, it's not entirely logical, is it? It's emotional.
Yeah, to be honest. But the toilet paper thing was hilarious. I don't get it. And it comes from China as well, because we got so many videos from China showing activities they were doing with toilet paper.
Okay.
So I think they invented that.
Amazing.
Oh man.
Okay, now just as we start to wrap up, thinking about reading, do you read much?
Yeah, I try, and now I'm definitely reading more.
Okay, so another thing I like to ask people is, if you could suggest just one book or even a couple for people to read, what would they be?
Okay, so I will suggest a couple. I would say this is a bit more fiction, but very interesting and makes you think. It's The Celestine Prophecies.
Great book.
And another one that can have a very positive effect in your life is The Power of Now.
By Eckhart Tolle, another good book. Although I have to admit it was quite heavy going. It's big words.
Yeah, right. I would say The Secret then.
Okay, yeah, The Secret, another great book. Okay, thank you. And thank you for your opinion in dentistry in terms of the health of people. I have to admit, I haven't worn a mask when I go outside, but I haven't really gone outside very much.
Yeah, I actually did it one time, and people were taking pictures of me.
Yeah, do you know, we thought about doing it, but painting the masks rainbow colors, you know, because of the colors of gender equality, right? But then we realized we would be breathing in paint fumes.
That might not be the healthiest thing, right?
Yeah, I'm lucky.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's smart, definitely.
Okay, and if you could suggest one meal from your time back in España for people to cook at home, given the limited ingredients that some of us have, what would it be?
Okay, so I could suggest you can try Spanish omelette, which has very, very common ingredients.
Tortilla
de patata. Yeah. And if there is any chance, you can get Spanish Iberian ham. I think they sell it in the all of the stores, to be honest. You can try something called pan tumaca.
Go on. How do you make that?
Pan tumaca. Yeah, okay. So basically, it's difficult, right, if I say it just in Spanish. So it's you get the bread. You need to toast the bread. As soon as the bread is toasted and it's crispy, you need to get garlic, like natural garlic. You cut it in half. You remove the center, the heart of the garlic, so it doesn't give you bad breath for long. This is a Spanish trick to avoid bad breath.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Yeah. And basically, you need to spread a bit of the garlic over the bread. Okay?
Okay, so you've got lightly toasted bread with a bit of garlic spread over it.
Yeah, exactly. Just spread over a tiny, tiny bit. Over that, you just place a bit of extra virgin olive oil and then the thin layer of tomato or some tomato if you can, like, oh my goodness, like a smashed tomato, you know? You make it like a paste, and then over that, the Spanish ham, that is absolutely amazing. Like sometimes when we have a reunion and I bring that, everyone at the party loves that, and they go within minutes. And it's so simple to make, so extremely simple to make.
I'm
so it's called pan tumaca.
Pan tumaca. Okay, and what kind of bread should people use?
Ideally baguettes.
Okay.
But it doesn't really matter, actually. If you just want to use the normal bread, the sliced ones, the soft one.
I'm just imagining it right now.
the normal one you buy, not the baguette, the one that comes inside the plastic.
Sure, sure. That looks like sandwich bread.
Sandwich bread. Thank you.
yeah. Okay, cool. Yay. Okay, and what about the tortilla? How does someone make a Spanish tortilla? And how is that different to a French omelette that most people have in cafes?
Good luck, guys. Spanish tortilla is so annoying to make. Okay, you need to be strong, and the best is using a YouTube tutorial. But basically, you need to cut the... It's very simple, but takes time. Just cut the potatoes, fry them, add salt, and then place them in a pan with eggs, and you just need to wait until it's made. And then you have to turn it. And you need to be really good at turning them and at turning the saucepan for the omelette to go the opposite way. To go
basically like flipping a pancake.
Yeah, like flipping a can, but it's super heavy, the Spanish omelette. So try starting with a small Spanish omelette.
Okay.
Like
that
two
sounds
small
really
ones.
Really hard.
Exactly. No. Just do a small one. And then once you get a small one, you can just get a bigger and bigger and bigger. And follow YouTube videos. That's definitely the best.
Yeah.
I must say, I don't really do it often because it takes long.
Yeah.
You can go for it.
Fair enough.
You have a lot
Fair
of time.
Enough. Okay. And what do you think is coming next for Spain, just in closing, as in terms of the lockdown easing? So obviously small children can go outside up to half a mile, which sounds like a really small thing with one parent. What do you think will come beyond that?
I wish I could tell. I think just mainly jobs. This is my opinion. This is only my opinion. I really don't know what they are going to do. They are not giving much information. But I guess they will focus on jobs, that more amount of people can attend to their jobs in case they cannot do it from home, just little by little, at least to bring salaries back home, because that's one of the main struggles that many countries are going through, that they are not receiving any money. They are without a job. And yeah.
I mean, I really feel for people who are in tourist areas, because imagine if you lived near to Machu Picchu in Peru, or Ciudad Perdida in Colombia.
Yeah.
No tourists can come, right?
Exactly.
Their livelihoods are tourism.
Exactly. So I don't know how many people they are not getting any income at all, and how many people they actually depend on their monthly income. So I hope the way the government takes it is just focus on those jobs, at least to help the second crisis going on, which is not the coronavirus, is the employment, the economic crisis. So yeah, I hope that's what happens, that at least they allow more amount of people to go to their job.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't really know what's going to happen, but I just hope less people has to pay a big cost during these days.
Yeah. All we would hope for is for it to be as easy as possible for everyone, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Because I think it's been very, very bad for many.
Really hard. Yeah. It's a real time for reflection and focusing on the ones we love. Thank you for your time and
for sharing
your thoughts. It's a pleasure. And may lockdown lift and may España return to normal in time for the nice spring weather.
Ole! Let's hope so. We are all really looking forward to socialize again, even if it's keeping the distance, even if it's socializing 1 meter away from each other with the masks, but at least being able to talk, see your family, your sisters, siblings, cousins.
I can't even imagine Malasaña when it's not pumping. Right? That northern suburb of of Madrid. Because that place is just full of people and cafes and bars, and it must be empty right now.
Yeah, and I was already thinking, if things go back to normal, I would most likely invite friends to my house, but like giving them masks, you know, or like wearing masks and not touching each other, you know, not hugging each other, but at least we can see each other again, and we are still keeping our viruses to ourselves as much as we can. So
indeed.
Yeah, let's see what happens. Let's see if that becomes possible anytime soon.
Indeed. Well, stay safe. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in, folks. And you know how to subscribe. This will be the first of a series of global perspectives on lockdown and this crazy, sincerely interesting time that we live in.
Okay, thank you, Oli.
Ciao.
Ciao, all the best.